From Acts of the Apostles in chapter 11, Acts 11, beginning to read at verse 19 to 26. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch.
At its best, that the church is one of the greatest privileges that we can have. To belong to the church can be the best thing for individuals. It can be the best thing for families. It can be the best thing for the community. Because it's not bricks and mortar. I'm not talking of that. I'm not talking of a building. It's what happens inside. The church is made up of men and women. It's you. It's myself. It's us. You know, because of my traveling, I've met with the church in all sorts of ways and places. It never ceases to amaze me that people get together on a Sunday and at other times in the week. They do what you are doing. Some of them sit in pews. I've been in places where they sat in chairs. I've been in houses where, because of persecution, they were meeting clandestinely. And so some were sitting in the bedroom on the bed. Others were standing in the kitchen. And I'm preaching from a room back here, trying to reach all of them at the same time. And then, when I was in India particularly and in Brazil, because we didn't have chairs, we didn't have other things, so they sat on the floor. And all over the world, that's happening this morning, in some place or other, in that kind of way. Now, don't get me wrong when I make this next statement. You get people sing, and some will sing half-heartedly. And sometimes I've watched people and they've opted in and out of the hymn because they didn't like it. Not that it would ever happen here, of course. And then this bit. They tune into the sermon. Or out. I know. You know. Because that's the nature of us as people. But I tell you what, these people who sit in pews or on chairs or on beds or stand in kitchens or sit on the floor, when you see those people close up and God is so special to them, see them when they're suffering, see them when they make commitments and stay faithful to their commitment, when you see the quality and character of their lives, you can only describe it as one thing. Galatians tells me what it is. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And so you see love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, and they bless other people. They brought their babies to me, and they brought their babies here for, well, all down the years this place has been open. And more than that, they've made a dedication. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we bless those children. And then they've come here. And you've come here. And we've had a casket here. We've had a funeral. Not once, not twice, but again and again and again. And we've shared grief and tears. And I've watched folk witness to the thrill and the joy and the wonder of resurrection life. That the casket is not the end. Just another step along the journey. And amidst all those tears and fears and questions, I've seen sinners repent and receive the Saviour. And I've sat at the back here, and I've watched out people sitting together because they know and have found the Lord. We've broken bread and we've drunk a cup of wine in Jesus' name. And all of that has been God in action. And that's what it is to be part of the church. It's incredible. So can I describe these members of the church by using a man named Barnabas? His real name was Joseph. He came from Cyprus. And he was so good at being part of the church that they gave him a nickname. They called him, not Joseph, but they called him Barnabas, encourager, son of encouragement. Now, his parents were Jewish. His aunt was Mary, the mother of John Mark. And one of the first things you discover about Joseph Barnabas, how generous he was. He went and sold part of the family land and gave it to the church to help widows and the poor and those that were struggling and didn't have a job and some who were homeless. And it was Barnabas who stepped in to help Saul of Tarsus to become part of the fellowship. Everybody was scared. They were apprehensive about this man who'd been an enemy, number one. Had he come into their church? Was it some trick? Was it a scheme to infiltrate and arrest them? If you read Acts 9:26, listen to this. He tried repeatedly to join with them. No deal. And along comes Joseph Barnabas. And Barnabas took him by the hand, brought him to the apostles to explain what God had done in Saul's life. This is the member I want to talk about with you. Now, did you hear what we said? He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Those words ought to describe us too. They're some of the finest things that can ever be said about us. You don't have to be great. You don't have to be talented. You don't have to have a good bank balance and be prosperous. But you do have to be good. You do. And some of the things you read about Jesus in Acts 10. Do you know what it was? He went about doing good. In Psalm 139, listen to this. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because he is good. And you don't have to live very long in this world, but it becomes very clear that things don't last. The car that I bought new now needs almost weekly attention. And you see it with furniture, you see it with the things you buy, and you see it with relationships. Do you know what lasts forever? I'm going to give it you from the scriptures. The Lord, He is good, and His mercy endures forever. When I sin, when I blow it, when I make a mistake, when I get angry, whatever I do, He forgives. He's good. He forgives. And when our lives are jumbled up because of the things that are happening to us and things we can't control, when each day becomes a struggle because of illness or despair or conflict, I can't tell you how many days it is just a struggle to have this hump on my back, this brace, and the pain and the anguish. It's on those days, do you know what I find? He's good. Oh, He is so good. And you know what I mean by that, because some of you are struggling too. And you found on those days when everything, it's crazy. He's good. He's good. And when life overwhelms us, because His mercy endures forever, we have a good God. Annie Flint wrote a song. It's in the Sankey book. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. And to added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. Why was He such a great church member? Well, listen to it in five simple things. He was a good man because of what he saw. Why would you say that, Pastor? He saw the evidence of the grace of God. That's verse 23 of chapter 11. He looked at people and he saw the grace of God. He saw how their lives had been changed. He saw souls who had been brought into the kingdom of God. He saw lives that had been transformed. He saw men and women who were now singing hymns and rejoicing in the Lord. And before that, they'd been cynics. Cynicism and conflict had possessed their lives. And now he saw them. And he saw faith. And he saw hope. And he saw optimism. And where there'd been bitterness and sarcasm, now there are gentle words. Where there'd been unrestrained lust and evil, there's purity. He saw men and women, teenagers, even boys and girls, who were a living, lasting indication that God's way does work best. I looked up today's message of 2 Timothy 3. Listen to this. Listen to this. And when you hear the news later today, and when you open the newspaper in the morning or in the week or whatever, as the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, self-promoting, dog eats dog, the kind who smooth talk and take advantage. Did you see it in the petrol crisis? Do you see it when you're in Tesco's or Lidl's or Aldi's or Morrison's, wherever you go, pushing you out of your way to get 30 seconds advantage over you going through the line? Do you see it, motorists, when you're going for a parking space and somebody wants to come in, how they cut you up? You see, dog eat dog. The kind who smooth talk and take advantage. What's the Bible tell me? In humility, consider others better than yourself. Good men and women, folk who belong to the church, don't live like that. You see people and you see grace and you say, that's what I long for in their lives. Now, this is what he felt. He was glad. Now, that comes from here, from deep within you. Barnabas was thrilled at seeing what God was doing, even though at that moment he didn't have a particular job in the church. He was there just to be a member for a year. And I used to do a little trick. I can't do it here because I haven't got a piece of paper. If I put a dot, this is a piece of white paper, put a dot in the middle, what would you see? Tell me, come on, what would you see? See the dot? No, it's a piece of paper. We see the dots. We don't see the piece of paper. We don't see the big sheet. I would do it with students, try and get them to work with me and so on. But it's like keeping your eye on the donut and not on the hole. You know what? So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. What is it going on? God is over all. You see? Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. He felt, I'm glad to be with you. I'm glad to be part of a fellowship like this. And then there's what he said. He encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. What would you say is one of the major themes in the life of Israel as you read through the Old Testament? Discontent. That amazing exodus from bondage in Egypt. Do you know what it was followed by? Nothing but moaning and groaning and grumbling and complaining. They complained about Moses. They complained when they got to the waters at Marah. What shall we drink? You see? And then they complained about the food supply. They said, we're going to get manna. Why about a bit of meat? And when you read, 40 years would elapse. And then God said, well, that's enough. And he gave them over to their grumbling and complaining. What's one of the greatest problems of our society? Is we are a moaning, groaning, complaining people. Listen to the politicians. That lady who called them all, the Tories, all scum last week. What did she think about David Amos this morning? Oh, the Barnabas spirit is so different. He encouraged the new converts. He urged everybody to be all out for Jesus. And for a whole year, he met with the church and taught numbers of people. And of all the choices we make in life, none will affect you more than this choice to be a grumbler or an encourager. Nothing will affect you more. Be a constant complainer or a constant encourager of others. Am I getting too near the bone? We're the church. Now, here's the fourth thing. He was a good man because of what he did. He went and got a hold of Saul, of Tarsus. And He brought him to the church and acted as his best friend. Not Saul, Paul, we call him now, was more gifted than Barnabas, much, much more gifted. But Barnabas would say, well, you know, I helped you. I'm the number one guy here. I'm going to sort this out. You know, he goes to Tarsus. He finds Paul. He brings him to Antioch. And he's so determined to keep the work going there. Because Antioch was a pivot. Do you know when John the Baptist saw Jesus? Do you know what he said? He, Jesus, must increase and I must decrease. Doesn't matter who gets the spotlight as long as Jesus gets the glory. And together, Paul and Barnabas helped the church to make it. So it's a great testimony to the whole community. Because how do I know that? Because they were called Christians, Christ's men, first at Antioch. Oh, there was going to be a fresh challenge. There's going to be more things to do. Then he will be commissioned to go on the missionary journeys. But that was another thing. You just kept on sensing, Lord, I just want to be a good man, full of faith and of the Spirit. Ah, so that brings me to my last point. Why was he a good man? Because of what he was. The real test is not what we see, what we feel, what we say, and what we do, but what we are. And he was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And for that whole year, the church at Antioch lived with a man who walked his talk, who practiced what he preached. And some of the saddest words that I've ever seen on a gravestone was this one. When he came to die, I had not lived. Strange how we use this word full, isn't it? During the crisis with the fuel, everybody wanted a full tank of petrol. You look at some of these youngsters and we say they're full of energy and we can't cope, we can't run with them. You talk to folk like myself from oncology, and they'll tell you, you're full of cancer. Because everybody is full of something. We can meet, and you have met them, and you are meeting them, either at home, work, wherever you go in the community, people who are so full of themselves, they are unbearable. You meet other people who are so full of problems. So they're only happy, I think, sometimes when they're miserable. And then you see others and they're full of pride and they're arrogant. What was that man doing in Lee 2 days ago? Full of hate. Full of hate. So he takes a knife and he plunges it in a man who's there to help him. But what about this? What about this for you and for me? To be full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Because whatever fills a person's life drives them, determines what they will do, determines what they will say. Oh, what was that? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God, help me to be a man full of faith. You see, the kind of faith that will see visions and dream dreams for the kingdom of God. And want the power and the blessing of God to be released into the place where they live. Oh, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Why? 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 So that they could receive power. Acts 1:8, after he has come upon you, you will receive power and be a witness unto me. And that's how we have the power of love. That's how we can forgive one another and others. That's how we can share our faith. That's how we can endure the pressures of life. That's how we can battle for what is right. That's how we can build the church again. What a church member this man was. A good man. A good man, full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And you saw it in what he saw, and what he felt, and what he said, and what he did, but most of all in what he was. I want you to go home knowing, because of Jesus, in your heart, in your life, you can be a good man. You can be a good woman this week because you are part of his church, his people. It happens to be this fellowship this morning. Barnabas, Barnabas, all you do challenge me to be a good man, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. God make you this week good men and women, good folk. And when they say, what's happened to you? Oh, well, I'm part of that little caucus, that little group that meets up on North Street. And we love the Lord Jesus, and we've learned that we've got to be good people, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Amen. Tell me amen. Amen. Father, we sang the words. Now help us to work them out in the living of our lives. Take us so that this week folk will know we're good men and good women, full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, so that lives can be blessed, the community can be changed, and we'll see again your church established in power and for your glory and your honor. The Lord go with you, bless you, keep you, make his face shine on you, and be gracious to you. In Jesus' name, amen.